want to share this morning, want to share out of 2 Timothy. God gave me this for us here at 8th Reformed, and I thought that he was going to change my message to Romans chapter 12, and at the last minute he said, no, I'll go back into 2 Timothy. There's so much in here that God's laid on my heart this morning. And beginning with verse 1, and let me just pray before I read, and then I'm going to go right into reading, then right into the sermon. Heavenly Father, I do pray, Lord, that you take away any nervousness, Lord. This is your service, Lord. I'm just your servant, Lord. I'm just with you. Use me, Lord, in any way that you want. Say whatever you want, Lord. And the things you don't want said, Lord, take that out of my mind, Lord, out of my heart, anything, Lord. Just burn what you've burned in my heart this morning, Lord. Make it alive, and you do the leading this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Beginning. It works. I'm glad I didn't wear my hearing aids this morning either. That's not my fault. I was just going to stand here, you know. Verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. I told you where the chapter was and stuff, didn't I?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And he says, thou therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble, not as an evildoer, but unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. And I like that. The word of God's not bound. The word of God is sharp, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's a dividing of the soul and the spirit. And it shows the intent of the heart when you read in Hebrews. But what I noticed in here that I want to share is what he says in verse 1. He says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And I thought about that. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong. You know, there's come around the end of December and into January, people always think about diets. They got to go on a diet because they've eaten too much or whatever, but they want to get into a good workout program. So they join some gym, and they last about 4 weeks or so, and then it dwindles off and they don't need the gym anymore because they've so-called worked out. But I like what it says here, be strong in the grace. For by grace am I saved, and not that of myself. I couldn't save myself. My sins that I've committed, I couldn't say, go away. They're always there. But in God's eyes, as far as the east is from the west, he remembers them no more. What can wash away my sins? Nothing that I do or say but the blood of Jesus. It's nothing that I can do in myself to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It's all because of God. It's Him I've got to trust. He's the one that's got to see me through. He's the one that's got to make things better. When I get those letters in the mail, or I have people say things or do things to me, or I get bills that I cannot pay, or fears that I face, or sins that I have done, I cannot erase them, but Almighty God can. I've got to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know, God said to Joshua, when they crossed the Jordan River, in chapter 1, He says three different times to them, "Be strong, be courageous, fear not." Be strong, be courageous. Was He telling Joshua, get out there and just work out and work out? He says, be strong, trust Me. I'll see you through. I won't let you down. Are you with me this morning? Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Don't give up, no matter what comes your way. I perhaps have said it before. I'm in the best retirement program. Social Security might fail. Pensions might fail. But heaven will never fail. You know, as I thought about this even more, I went into Judges chapter 14 and 15. And the last verse in chapter 15 of Judges says that God raised up Samson, to be a judge over the Philistines for 20 years. God raised up Samson. And every time I get a picture of Samson, I see pictures of him as super muscular. And sometimes I wonder if he was. I know that he got strength from God. But as I was reading about how God raised him up, God raised us, didn't He? Didn't He, the Bible say in Psalms 40, He brought us out of a horrible pit. He brought us out of the miry clay. He set our feet on a rock to stay. That rock's Christ Jesus. It wasn't in ourselves to raise ourselves up. We couldn't do it, but with God we can. And Solomon was raised up to be the judge during that time against the Philistines. And in Judges 14, he says to his parents, says, I'm in love with this woman that's a Philistine. And she's from a town called Timnath. And his parents said, can't you just love somebody that's Jewish, more or less, that's an Israelite? And he said, no, I'm in love with this woman down there. So he leaves the house to go down to court her a little bit. And on his way down, he meets this young lion that's roaring at him. I thought to myself, we as Christians have met that lion. The devil is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Can I tell you, the devil doesn't play by the rules? And when Samson saw him, if you read the scriptures, he looks at him and he says, come on, lion. Didn't he? No. The lion's roaring at him, and the lion's got things on his mind to destroy Samson. And the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. Can I tell you, that's what keeps us going? When the devil comes against us, it's in God, the Spirit of the Lord. That's what gets us out of it. It's not in our own strength. We can't take them on ourselves, but in Christ Jesus, we can be more than conquerors. You know, you read just a little bit further. Can I tell you that God can take a bad situation and turn it into a good situation? It's not in ourselves, it's in God. Samson, on the way back home, sees that lion. And that lion is dead, and there's a swarm of bees that have made honey. God can take a bad situation and turn it into a good situation. All things, no matter how bad it seems, no matter how bad things come into your life, maybe you're talked about, maybe you're mistreated, no matter how bad it is, God can take a bad situation and turn it into a good situation. He takes honey out and he brings it to his family, doesn't he? You know what else? When you go to chapter 15, I'm going to skip just a little bit of the story there. Samson is on the rock of Elim. And the Philistines are angry at him. And they come to do battle. There's like 1,000 of them that want to take on Samson. And the Jews say to him, "Why are you down here?" They said, "Because we want our vengeance on Samson." And 3,000 Jews come up to Samson and said, "Let us turn you over to them." You know the thing I don't understand? Why didn't them 3,000 stand with Samson? You know, sometimes your own people turn against you. Sometimes it seems like everybody's against me. Everybody, family, friends, just like Job. His wife even turned. "Why don't you curse God and die?" Just when he needed a little bit of encouragement. Samson says, "Don't touch me." And they put these green ropes around his arms. They bring him down to the Philistines, 3,000 of them, just to get Samson. And the Philistines, the enemy, both good and bad, come against us. And they start shouting. And the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he just tore those ropes. And then he piled the Philistines one on top of another. Bible says heaps upon heaps, 1,000 of them with a jawbone of an ass. You know, as I thought about that, I thought to myself, if God be for me, who can be against me? And it might seem like everybody and everything is against you, but if God's for you, what does it matter? I'd rather have God on my side. Are you with me? If God be for us, who can be against us? Have you ever got to the point you just feel like you can't go on? Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Don't give up. We're in the best benefit program there is. God has given us all kinds of benefits. He says, forget not his benefits. He had taken a jawbone of an ass and whipped the Philistines. And then he said, I'm dying of thirst, I'm going to die. Have you ever been to that place? feel like you just can't go on anymore. God, what am I going to do? I had this major victory, and all of a sudden I'm here and I just can't go on anymore. Have you ever been there? And maybe you're there today. God makes a hollow place in that jawbone, gives them water. God will make a way where there is no way. Are you with me? That's just the introduction. Be strong. It's not in you. It's in Him. It's in Him I live. I am more than a conqueror, not in myself, but in Christ Jesus. I can do all things, not in myself, but through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. You with me? We can make it. You know, he brings out three different areas here that he talks about in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says in verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardship as a soldier of Jesus Christ." When I was younger, they had a thing called the draft. Remember that? You got drafted whether you wanted to or not. And I was one of the few that were lucky that got drafted and sent to Vietnam. Can I tell you, when you become a Christian, whether you like it or not, you're drafted. For we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Got to endure. Got to put up with it. Got to endure hardship. How are you going to fight? Just endure it. I remember being in Vietnam wanting to leave, but I had nowhere to go. Endure hardship. Remember in Acts chapter 14? In Acts chapter 14, Paul and Barnabas are preaching the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ. He's the only way. It says there's no other name under heaven which men can call upon and be saved. And while he's preaching to these people in Laodicea, there's a man there that's crippled in his legs from his birth. It's almost like in Acts chapter 3, the same story about Peter and John. They go into the temple, and there's a man, while they're going into the temple, he's outside begging. And all he wanted was some money. And Peter looked at him and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I give unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And he went walking and leaping and praising God. Paul looks down while he's preaching, and there's a man in the same condition. And Paul sees him, and he says to him, "Stand to your feet." And the man jumps to his feet, and he goes walking and leaping. You know, he gets excited going to church. Aren't you excited to come to church on Sundays? I'm so glad I'm part of the family of God. I'm not as good looking as many as you. Maybe I'm on the ugly side, but it don't matter. I love to be amongst God's people. You know what I mean, Bob? And these people, they're into idol worship. And Paul, the people begin to say, "Paul is a god that's sent down. We're going to call him Mercury." And he said, "Barnabas is a god, Jupiter." And the priest of the idol worshiper of idol worship of Jupiter, he has the people bring in some oxen and garland, and they want to sacrifice onto Paul and Barnabas and honor them as gods. Paul drops to his knees, says, don't do this. He says, you're into idol worship. He said, this isn't right. He says, there's the living God. He's the only way. He's the Almighty. He's the one that made heavens and earth and everything in it. He made the seas and separated it. He's the only way. But he said, through the years, God has tolerated you. But he says, nevertheless, he let you do what you wanted to do. But there's a judgment day coming. But he left you a witness. And he says that the witness he left was the rain and the sun and the weather and good crops and food and shelter. Bible says he holds our breath in his hand. And these people listened. I believe they had a relationship that they turned from their idol and they turned to God. And these Jews come down that hated Paul, religious leaders, and they stirred up the people. They took Paul outside the city and they stoned him. You know what Paul did? I believe God brought him back. Paul was left for dead out there. You know what Paul does? He gets right back up. I believe God raised him up. He goes right back into the city. Endure hardship. None of us like hardship. None of us like to open that envelope where it's something we didn't expect to see. Endure the doubt. Endure the giants. Endure the sickness, sorrows, sadness. One of our biggest enemies is death. I hate it. Doesn't Paul call it an enemy? It hurts. So many things we got to endure as a soldier. Hold in there. No matter what comes your way. Don't give up. You know what else I noticed? This one got me. In verse 5, I think it is. And if a man also strive for mastery, yet if he's not crowned except he strive lawfully. Talks about a runner. We're running a race. What are we focused on? We focused on the 6 o'clock news that depresses us. We focused on our own selves. Poor old me. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares. Or I do this and I do that. Or the another good one. Are we focused on everybody else? Boy, I'm not glad I'm not like them. I remember when we were younger. First got married, and this young mother and dad were sitting in the back pew. We sat in the back pew also, right across them, and their little baby kept acting up. And I sat there saying to myself, if that was my child, I wouldn't do this. Had 5 of them. I've eaten a lot of crow. Ron, you must have too. You're laughing. It's easy to look at everybody else, isn't it, Terry? Or look at poor old me. Remember in John chapter 8, Jesus is preaching in the temple. And the temple had dirt floors. I don't think they were concrete. And the religious leaders, they bring this lady that's been caught in adultery. They said to Jesus, according to the law of Moses, this woman should be stoned. And I know Jesus probably thinking to himself, well, it takes 2 for adultery. He bends down and he just begins to write in the sand. Right? And they said, what are you going to do? They kept troubling him. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about what she's done? Jesus stands. He says, he that hath no sin casts the first stone. Then he bends back down and he begins to write again. Doesn't he? And then little by little, the people begin, the religious leaders begin to leave. You ever wonder what he might have been writing? I think what he was writing. See that priest over there, perhaps by the name of, I'm just going to name names, it doesn't have to do with you, but let's say Robert. He's writing the name Robert down there, and he's writing his sin. What sin he's doing. He looks down, and he leaves. The next guy, maybe his name's Terry. He writes his name down. And he writes what sin he's doing. He looks. Can you see that? Little by little, he writes their names down. And the sin. He that hath no sin, he said, cast the first stone. Focus on God. Don't focus on everybody else. Don't focus on yourself. Focus on the home that's in glory land. We're just pilgrims passing through. This world is passing away. Quit watching the 6 o'clock news that depresses you. Quit listening to everything else. Listen to what God says. Are you with me? Where's your focus? Is it on everybody else and on yourself and the things of the world? You know, the last one that he brings out is verse 6. The husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits. That was one of the hardest things I think the Jews had to do. Didn't the first fruit belong unto God? I had a friend that had a garden, and he put out those tomatoes waiting for them to turn red, and the first one turned red. And he wanted to eat that. He waited all winter just for that. But he said, this belongs unto God. That's hard to give away. Isn't it? You know, as I thought about what he's saying there in verse 6, the husbandman that labors must first be partakers of the fruit. Psalms 34 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man that trusteth in him. I don't know about you, but I know in my life the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not going to go into any of my past, but I've tasted both of the good and of the bad. And can I tell you that sin is fun for a season, but the wages of sin is death. In Luke 15, there was a boy that said to his daddy, I want my inheritance while you're alive. And his daddy gave him his inheritance. And after a while, and I believe he was raised to serve God. He had tasted of the good. And he took his inheritance. And he says, now I'm going to live for the bad. Doesn't say it in that words, but he wasted it on riotous living. And he ended up in the pig pen. You know the story. I don't want to stay there. But the Bible says he came to himself. He says, my dad's servants have it better than I do. He said, I'll go and confess my sin and say, Father, I have sinned against you in heaven. and just make me one of your servants. I like what happens. He wants the taste of the good, that God is good. He's tasted it before. And he comes back, and the first thing his dad does is he points a finger at him, and he says, "You no good, son." Does he say that? He greets him with a big hug and kiss. You think God's looking at you and saying, "Thou no good"? God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son. Though I fail, 7 times God picks me back up. Greets him with a hug and a kiss. And then the first thing he does when he gives him a hug, he says, "Bring him a new robe." Can I tell you, when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, he gave me a new robe. I'm clothed in the robe of righteousness. It's not my righteousness, aren't we? Then you know what else he does? He gives him a ring. You know why I wear this ring? I belong to that pretty young lady up there. Are you with me? Can I tell you, I belong to God. I am my beloved, it says in the Song of Solomon, and he is mine. And his banner over me is love, isn't it? And he gives him new shoes, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, the Bible says. The children of God got a new way of walking. We're not going to walk after the flesh anymore. We're going to walk after the Spirit. And then he gets a fatted calf and has it butchered out. Can I tell you, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemy. No matter what comes my way, don't give up. The other brother came. Talk about grumpy. It's up to you. Go ahead and be grumpy. I want to be happy in the Lord. Verse 7 says, "Consider what I say." That's what Paul says, "Consider what I say." Can I tell you, consider what I say. Don't give up. Don't give up. You're in the best retirement program there is. We've got a home in the glory land. He says in Jude 1:24, and I'll probably use that as my benediction also. "Now unto him that is able," God's able, "to keep you from falling and to present you faultless," present you perfect "before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." Can I just illustrate that to you just a little bit? One day, when I stand before God, Jesus is going to stand there with me. And he's going to present me before the Father with exceeding joy. Faultless. And you say, "This is Garrett. He belongs to us." And God will say, "Enter in." Heavenly Father, I thank you for that opportunity to share your word this morning, Lord. And I pray if there's anyone here that's not right with you this morning, Lord, they would make things right. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that we've got a home in the glory land, Lord. Pray for every individual that's here, Lord, that when they leave, they say it's been good to be in your house, Lord. Let not your word return void, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.